Asthma. Asthma is a chronic respiratory condition characterized by airway inflammation, bronchial hyperresponsiveness, and variable airflow obstruction. Although the presentation varies, asthma is typically characterized by recurrent episodes of wheezing, chest tightness, shortness of breath, and coughing, particularly at night or upon waking in the morning. These symptoms reflect the underlying pathology of inflammation-driven narrowing of the airways and increased mucus production, often triggered by allergens, cold air, exercise, or viral infections. Importantly, stress and emotional arousal can act as significant triggers or exacerbators of symptoms, making asthma a prime candidate for biofeedback-assisted interventions that promote autonomic regulation and breathing efficiency. Pathophysiologically, asthma involves complex interactions between immune cells, inflammatory mediators, and the autonomic nervous system. Inflammatory responses increase airway sensitivity to both environmental and internal stimuli, leading to episodic or persistent constriction of the bronchial muscles. This narrowing reduces expiratory airflow and increases airway resistance, creating a characteristic pattern of labored exhalation. While bronchodilators and corticosteroids are central to medical management, these pharmacological approaches do not address the psychophysiological dimensions of asthma, such as anticipatory anxiety, hypervigilance to respiratory cues, or dysregulated breathing patterns, which often contribute to the severity and frequency of attacks. Biofeedback interventions, particularly those involving respiratory retraining and heart rate variability, HRV, biofeedback, have demonstrated clinical utility in improving asthma outcomes. Many individuals with asthma exhibit chronic overbreathing, even between attacks, which leads to hypocapnia and subsequent airway constriction via smooth muscle irritation and heightened bronchial sensitivity. Training clients to breathe more slowly, nasally, and diaphragmatically increases end-tidal carbon dioxide to optimal levels, which relaxes bronchial smooth muscle and reduces symptom severity. Moreover, paced breathing supports the recalibration of respiratory reflexes that are often blunted in individuals with asthma due to frequent use of short-acting beta agonists or habitual overcompensation during stress. In addition to improving respiratory mechanics, breathing interventions positively influence autonomic regulation. Asthma is associated with decreased parasympathetic tone and increased sympathetic activity, contributing to both bronchial constriction and heightened anxiety about breathing. HRV biofeedback, especially when performed at resonance frequency, typically around 0.1 Hz or 6 breaths per minute, increases baroreflex sensitivity and vagal tone, which may reduce inflammatory cytokine activity and improve airway stability. Clients trained in this approach often report fewer episodes of breathlessness, improved exercise tolerance, and reduced reliance on medication. These outcomes are particularly meaningful for individuals with stress-triggered asthma, where anxiety and somatic arousal play a prominent role in exacerbations. Psychoeducation is a crucial component of asthma management. Clients should understand the roles of carbon dioxide, respiratory reflexes, and autonomic balance in the expression of symptoms. Many clients with asthma develop a fear of exhalation due to past experiences of bronchial collapse or wheezing, which leads to breath holding or rapid shallow breathing. Teaching clients that a slow, prolonged exhalation can improve airway patency and enhance gas exchange, thereby helping to overcome this maladaptive pattern. Practicing these techniques in calm states reinforces safety and competence, which prepares clients to apply them during the early phases of an attack. Clinicians should also address catastrophic cognitions associated with asthma, such as fears of dying or suffocating, and use biofeedback data to show that breathing can be consciously regulated even under duress. Asthma management benefits from a collaborative, integrative care model. While medical providers manage inflammation and pharmacological treatment, biofeedback clinicians can address behavioral and autonomic contributors to symptoms. This division of roles ensures comprehensive care and prevents over-reliance on medication while enhancing quality of life. Clinicians should regularly communicate with referring physicians to coordinate care, adjust training protocols in response to medical changes, and monitor objective indicators of improvement, such as peak flow readings, medication use, and symptom diaries. This integrative approach also supports client adherence, as they receive consistent reinforcement from multiple domains of care. In conclusion, asthma is not solely a respiratory disease. It is a psychophysiological condition that benefits from interventions targeting both inflammation and regulation. Biofeedback-assisted breathing retraining and HRV biofeedback offer safe, effective, and empowering tools to improve pulmonary function, reduce symptom frequency, and increase resilience to both internal and external stressors. By teaching clients to use their breath as a tool for recovery and control, clinicians help them transform a historically threatening experience into an opportunity for self-regulation and well-being. Demographics. Asthma affects individuals across all ages, ethnicities, and socioeconomic groups, though its prevalence, severity, and access to care vary widely. In the United States alone, over 25 million individuals are currently diagnosed with asthma, including approximately 20.4 million adults and 5.1 million children. Among children, asthma is one of the most common chronic conditions, with a prevalence of 8.3% nationally. It is particularly prominent in boys during childhood, but the gender distribution reverses in adulthood, with women experiencing higher rates and often greater severity of symptoms. This gender shift may reflect hormonal influences on airway reactivity and immune function, as well as differential stress responses between men and women. Disparities in asthma incidence and outcomes are pronounced across racial and socioeconomic lines. African American and Hispanic populations, particularly those living in urban and economically disadvantaged areas, face significantly higher rates of asthma-related emergency department visits, hospitalizations, and mortality. These disparities are multifactorial, arising from increased exposure to environmental pollutants, limited access to preventive medical care, underdiagnosis, and inconsistent adherence to treatment. Socioeconomic stressors and residential proximity to traffic, industrial areas, or substandard housing also exacerbate asthma symptoms through both environmental and psychophysiological pathways. Addressing these disparities requires a coordinated public health response, as well as clinical sensitivity to contextual stressors. Children with asthma often exhibit higher levels of school absenteeism, impaired academic performance, and increased psychological distress, particularly when symptoms interfere with daily functioning or social participation. Adolescents may experience embarrassment or social withdrawal due to medication use, visible symptoms, or activity limitations. In this age group, self-regulation strategies such as biofeedback training can provide a sense of control and reduce reliance on rescue medications. Pediatric asthma is also frequently comorbid with anxiety disorders and sleep disturbances, which may worsen symptoms through hyperarousal and increased respiratory variability. Interventions that include parental education, consistent monitoring, and behavioral regulation are particularly effective in this population. Among adults, asthma is often complicated by occupational exposures, lifestyle factors such as smoking or obesity, and comorbid conditions like gastroesophageal reflux disease, GERD, chronic sinusitis, and anxiety. Women of childbearing age may experience fluctuations in symptom severity related to hormonal cycles, pregnancy, or contraceptive use. Asthma management in this group must be individualized to account for changing physiological demands and potential medication interactions. Older adults may experience a late-onset form of asthma that is often misdiagnosed as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, particularly in the presence of a smoking history or overlapping symptoms. Accurate diagnosis and integrated treatment planning are critical to optimizing outcomes in this population. Asthma prevalence also varies globally, with higher rates observed in industrialized nations, suggesting environmental and lifestyle influences. The hygiene hypothesis posits that reduced early life exposure to infectious agents and microbial diversity may increase susceptibility to allergic diseases, including asthma. Westernized diets, sedentary lifestyles, and air pollution further contribute to asthma risk. However, underdiagnosis remains a concern in low- and middle-income countries, where limited access to spirometry and inhaled corticosteroids constrains treatment. As a result, global estimates may underestimate the true burden of asthma, particularly in rural and underserved populations. Demographic understanding of asthma has important implications for clinical practice. tailoring biofeedback and respiratory interventions to specific age groups, cultural contexts, and health literacy levels increases engagement and efficacy. Children may respond well to gamified biofeedback interfaces, while adults may benefit from app-based practice and structured pacing protocols. Cultural humility is essential in addressing fears, beliefs, and treatment expectations, especially in communities with historical mistrust of the medical system. By integrating demographic awareness into assessment and intervention, clinicians can offer more equitable and effective care that meets the diverse needs of individuals living with asthma. Resonance frequency biofeedback for asthma. Resonance frequency biofeedback is a specialized form of heart rate variability, HRV, training that has shown promising results in managing asthma symptoms by targeting autonomic balance and respiratory control. The resonance frequency refers to the specific breathing rate, typically around 6 breaths per minute, at which the cardiovascular and respiratory systems oscillate in synchrony, maximizing respiratory sinus arrhythmia and baroreflex gain. For most individuals, this occurs between 4.5 and 6.5 breaths per minute. At this rate, the amplitude of HRV increases significantly, reflecting enhanced vagal tone, parasympathetic dominance, and improved systemic regulation. In individuals with asthma, training at this frequency can reduce bronchial constriction, lower airway reactivity, and decrease the frequency and severity of asthma symptoms. The physiological rationale for using resonance frequency breathing in asthma is based on its impact on autonomic regulation and respiratory chemistry. Asthma is associated with increased sympathetic tone and reduced parasympathetic modulation, which contribute to airway smooth muscle contraction and inflammation. Breathing at the resonance frequency stimulates the vagus nerve, enhancing parasympathetic output and promoting bronchodilation. At the same time, slow, gentle exhalations help elevate end-tidal carbon dioxide levels, thereby reversing the hypocapnia that often contributes to airway irritability in individuals who hyperventilate. This dual mechanism, autonomic normalization and CO2 restoration, helps reduce the baseline vulnerability of the airways and buffers against stress-induced exacerbations. Clinical implementation of resonance frequency biofeedback for asthma typically begins with an individualized assessment session to determine the client's optimal resonance breathing rate. This process involves instructing the client to breathe at various frequencies, e.g., for 0.5, 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5 breaths per minute, while monitoring HRV, phase synchrony between heart rate and respiration, and subjective comfort. The rate that produces the highest HRV amplitude and best synchronization without inducing discomfort or effort is selected for ongoing training. Once identified, clients are guided through daily practice sessions using a pacer or guided app with real-time feedback on HRV coherence, respiratory rhythm, and end-tidal CO2 when available. Sessions typically last 10 to 20 minutes and are conducted 1 to 2 times daily. Evidence supports the efficacy of resonance frequency biofeedback in reducing asthma severity and medication use. Controlled studies have demonstrated that participants engaging in HRV biofeedback with breathing retraining exhibit improvements in pulmonary function tests, such as forced expiratory volume in 1 second, FEV, and report reduced reliance on bronchodilators and corticosteroids. Improvements in asthma control are often accompanied by decreased symptom frequency, better perceived control over breathing, and enhanced quality of life. Some protocols incorporate pursed lips exhalation and tactile feedback to reinforce diaphragmatic movement, further enhancing the training's impact. These effects are maintained through consistent practice and tend to generalize to daily life, especially when clients apply the breathing pattern during stress exposure or the prodromal phase of an asthma attack. Psychological and behavioral benefits are also notable. Clients often report reductions in anxiety, emotional reactivity, and sleep disturbances, all of which can exacerbate asthma symptoms. As clients gain mastery over their breath and observe changes in their physiological markers, they develop greater self-efficacy and confidence in their ability to manage symptoms without over-reliance on pharmacological interventions. This sense of control reduces fear of symptoms, mitigates the fight-or-flight responses that worsen airway constriction, and improves adherence to other aspects of asthma management. Resonance frequency breathing thus serves both as a physiological regulator and a cognitive behavioral tool for enhancing self-regulation and resilience. For optimal integration into clinical care, resonance frequency biofeedback should be tailored to individual needs and coordinated with medical oversight. Clients must be medically stable, and providers should be informed of the intervention, particularly when medication adjustments are anticipated. Combining HRV biofeedback with conventional treatments, for example, inhaled corticosteroids, long-acting beta agonists, can enhance outcomes and reduce overall medication burden. In pediatric cases, parent involvement in monitoring and reinforcing practice increases treatment adherence. School-based accommodations may also support practice during stressful transitions or before physical activity. Longitudinal follow-up with periodic reassessment of resonance frequency is recommended, as physiological and behavioral changes may alter the optimal training parameters. In summary, resonance frequency biofeedback offers a powerful, non-pharmacological complement to traditional asthma treatment. By targeting core autonomic and respiratory mechanisms, it reduces symptomatology, improves physiological function, and enhances emotional regulation. Its accessibility, safety, and capacity for generalization make it an invaluable tool in the psychophysiological management of asthma. Biofeedback studies. Empirical studies examining biofeedback interventions for asthma have consistently highlighted the potential of respiratory and HRV-based approaches to reduce symptoms, enhance pulmonary function, and decrease reliance on medication. Early and foundational work by Lehrer and colleagues demonstrated that resonance frequency HRV biofeedback, combined with abdominal breathing training, led to clinically significant improvements in adult asthma patients. In these studies, participants exhibited increased forced expiratory volume in 1 second, FEV, decreased respiratory impedance, and a reduced need for corticosteroids and rescue inhalers. These physiological changes were attributed to increased parasympathetic tone, improved autonomic regulation, and stabilization of respiratory chemistry through elevated end-tidal carbon dioxide levels. A key randomized controlled trial by Lehrer, Smetankin, and Potapova explored the Smetankin method of RSA, respiratory sinus arrhythmia, biofeedback in a pediatric sample. 20 unmedicated children with asthma underwent biofeedback training and showed significant reductions in asthma symptoms and airway resistance. This study not only confirmed the utility of HRV biofeedback in younger populations, but also established that biofeedback effects extend beyond symptom perception to measurable improvements in airway function. Other studies have replicated these findings in adolescents and adults, reinforcing the cross-age efficacy of respiratory interventions. Kern-Buell, McGrady, Conran, and Nelson examined the impact of surface electromyographic, SEMG, biofeedback targeting the neck and shoulder muscles. They found that relaxation training through SEMG feedback could reduce muscle tension, alleviate airway resistance, and diminish inflammation in asthmatic individuals. Although SEMG biofeedback is less commonly used than HRV-based approaches in asthma management, this study suggests that muscle tension in the upper thorax can exacerbate symptoms and that reducing it through targeted feedback may yield therapeutic benefit. These findings are particularly relevant for clients who exhibit thoracic breathing, poor posture, or excessive use of accessory muscles during respiration. A comparative study by Lehrer et al. Assessed multiple biofeedback modalities, including HRV biofeedback, SEMG, and incentive spirometry, in a controlled asthma population. The researchers found that only the HRV biofeedback group showed significant within-session decreases in respiratory impedance, suggesting a unique advantage of this modality. Participants in the HRV group also demonstrated improved pulmonary metrics and reduced symptom intensity across sessions. These findings support the specificity of resonance frequency biofeedback as a mechanistically targeted intervention that addresses the core physiological dysregulation in asthma, beyond what is achievable through generalized relaxation or respiratory effort training. Song and Lehrer further elucidated the relationship between respiration rate and HRV amplitude by systematically varying breathing pace across multiple conditions. They found that HRV amplitude increased as breathing slowed, peaking at around 4 breaths per minute before declining at lower rates. This nonlinear response supports the importance of resonance frequency identification, as overly slow breathing may not provide additional benefits and could lead to discomfort or respiratory dysregulation. These findings inform individualized training protocols and reinforce the necessity of empirical determination of optimal breathing parameters rather than relying on fixed-rate prescriptions. Finally, a meta-analytic review by Huntley, White, and Ernst evaluated controlled studies of psychological and physiological interventions for asthma. While the review found mixed results across modalities, it concluded that biofeedback, especially HRV-based approaches, was associated with statistically significant improvements in pulmonary function, including increases in FEV. These findings are bolstered by the fourth edition of Evidence-Based Practice in Biofeedback and Neurofeedback, where Lehrer and colleagues rated HRV biofeedback for asthma as level 5, efficacious and specific. This rating reflects evidence from well-controlled clinical trials showing consistent improvements in symptom reduction, lung function, and medication usage when HRV biofeedback is used as a primary or adjunctive intervention. In summary, the body of research on biofeedback for asthma supports its safety, efficacy, and mechanistic specificity. Controlled trials, observational studies, and comparative investigations collectively demonstrate that HRV and respiratory biofeedback can restore autonomic balance, improve respiratory mechanics, and enhance quality of life. These effects are consistent across age groups and clinical settings, making biofeedback a valuable component of integrative asthma care. Clinical efficacy. The clinical efficacy of biofeedback for asthma has been well documented in multiple randomized controlled trials, RCTs, case series, and meta-analytic reviews, leading to its classification as a level 5 intervention - efficacious and specific by the Association for Applied Psychophysiology and Biofeedback, APB. In the fourth edition of Evidence-Based Practice in Biofeedback and Neurofeedback, this rating, the highest in APB's hierarchy, indicates that multiple RCTs conducted by independent research teams have consistently shown that biofeedback interventions, particularly HRV biofeedback, produce beneficial effects that are superior to placebo or control conditions and have a well-understood mechanism of action. These findings establish HRV biofeedback not merely as an adjunct, but as a specific intervention for asthma with replicable physiological and clinical outcomes. In clinical practice, HRV biofeedback has led to improvements in several key domains relevant to asthma management. These include reduced asthma symptom frequency and intensity, decreased use of bronchodilators and inhaled corticosteroids, and enhanced pulmonary function as measured by forced expiratory volume, FEV, and peak expiratory flow rate, PFR. Clients trained in resonance frequency breathing exhibit greater autonomic stability and report fewer asthma flares in response to stress, cold air, or exercise. These effects are maintained over time with regular practice and generalize across contexts, including school, work, and physical activity. In both pediatric and adult populations, biofeedback appears to augment the efficacy of standard medical treatment and, in some cases, allows for the safe tapering of pharmacological interventions under medical supervision. The clinical gains from biofeedback extend beyond respiratory mechanics. HRV biofeedback enhances overall autonomic regulation, reducing sympathetic arousal and increasing vagal tone, which indirectly affects inflammatory pathways implicated in asthma pathophysiology. Clients trained in PACE, diaphragmatic breathing at their resonance frequency experience a reduction in baseline anxiety, improved sleep quality, and increased emotional resilience, all of which are factors that significantly influence asthma outcomes. Importantly, many clients describe a transformation in their relationship with breathing. What was once a source of fear and vulnerability becomes a controllable, stabilizing force. This shift enhances self-efficacy and increases adherence to both behavioral and medical aspects of asthma management. In clinical practice, HRV biofeedback for asthma is well tolerated and associated with high patient satisfaction levels. Adverse effects are rare and typically limited to transient sensations of lightheadedness or anxiety during the early stages of slowing the breath. These symptoms typically resolve with guidance, appropriate pacing, and reassurance. The accessibility of modern biofeedback technology, including user-friendly apps and portable HRV sensors, has further expanded the clinical applicability of this intervention, allowing clients to practice consistently in their natural environments. Continued practice not only sustains the physiological gains achieved during training, but also strengthens the neural pathways associated with interoceptive awareness and autonomic flexibility. Qualitative reports from clients and clinicians also support efficacy. Clients often describe HRV biofeedback as empowering, calming, and immediately beneficial. Clinicians observe improved behavioral engagement, reduced health anxiety, and greater confidence in managing asthma independently. These clinical impressions align with empirical data and support the integration of HRV biofeedback into standard asthma care. Moreover, its compatibility with other behavioral interventions, such as mindfulness training, cognitive behavioral therapy, and physical rehabilitation, makes HRV biofeedback a versatile addition to multidisciplinary treatment plans. In conclusion, the clinical efficacy of HRV biofeedback for asthma is supported by rigorous research and extensive clinical experience. It improves pulmonary function, reduces medication use, enhances emotional regulation, and fosters a sense of agency in clients. As an evidence-based, non-invasive, and cost-effective intervention, HRV biofeedback should be considered a frontline component in the psychophysiological management of asthma, particularly for individuals whose symptoms are exacerbated by stress, anxiety, or dysfunctional breathing patterns. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, is a progressive, irreversible group of respiratory disorders characterized by airflow limitation and persistent respiratory symptoms. It primarily includes chronic bronchitis and emphysema, both of which involve pathological changes to the lungs that obstruct normal ventilation. Chronic bronchitis is defined by the presence of a productive cough lasting for at least 3 months in two consecutive years, with accompanying mucus hypersecretion and airway inflammation. Emphysema, by contrast, involves the destruction of alveolar walls, resulting in abnormally enlarged air spaces, impaired gas exchange, and reduced elastic recoil. Together, these conditions contribute to exertional dyspnea, chronic cough, hypoxemia, and limited functional capacity. COPD affects approximately 32 million Americans and ranks as the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. The disorder is most common among individuals over the age of 40, particularly those with a history of tobacco use, occupational exposure to irritants, for example, dust, chemicals, fumes, or recurrent respiratory infections. Males have historically exhibited higher prevalence rates due to higher rates of smoking and occupational exposure. However, the gap has narrowed in recent decades as smoking rates have increased among women. COPD disproportionately affects individuals from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, where access to healthcare, early diagnosis, and preventive interventions may be limited. The pathophysiology of COPD involves chronic airway inflammation, increased oxidative stress, mucus hypersecretion, and impaired mucociliary clearance. These changes produce airway narrowing, ventilation perfusion mismatch, and dynamic hyperinflation, particularly during exertion. In emphysema, the loss of alveolar surface area impairs oxygen uptake and carbon dioxide elimination, leading to exertional hypoxemia and respiratory acidosis in advanced stages. These physiological impairments lead to activity limitations, reduced quality of life, and increased risk of hospitalization and mortality. The progressive nature of COPD means that even minor declines in respiratory function can have significant consequences for physical and psychological well-being. Conventional management of COPD focuses on bronchodilators, inhaled corticosteroids, pulmonary rehabilitation, smoking cessation, oxygen therapy, and vaccinations to prevent respiratory infections. While these approaches are effective in slowing disease progression and managing symptoms, they do not address behavioral and psychophysiological factors that contribute to respiratory inefficiency, deconditioning, and emotional distress. Many individuals with COPD develop maladaptive breathing patterns, such as rapid shallow breathing, upper chest dominance, and reliance on accessory muscles, which increase the work of breathing and exacerbate symptoms. These patterns may also result from or contribute to anxiety, depression, and panic, which are highly prevalent comorbidities in this population. Biofeedback and respiratory retraining have emerged as promising adjunctive therapies in the management of COPD. By teaching clients to slow their breath, engage the diaphragm, and extend exhalations, respiratory training can reduce dyspnea, improve ventilation efficiency, and increase functional capacity. These effects are mediated through enhanced carbon dioxide retention, reduced respiratory effort, and improved synchronization between the respiratory and cardiovascular systems. Incorporating HRV biofeedback into pulmonary rehabilitation can further improve autonomic regulation, promote parasympathetic tone, and reduce anxiety, thereby interrupting the dyspnea-anxiety cycle that contributes to activity avoidance and deconditioning in COPD. Clients with COPD often report immediate subjective improvements when trained to breathe more slowly and deeply using pursed lips exhalation, a technique that maintains positive airway pressure and delays airway collapse during expiration. This practice can be easily combined with pacing apps, biofeedback interfaces, or tactile feedback to reinforce proper technique. Over time, these clients may exhibit improved performance on objective measures, such as the 6-minute walk distance, 6 MWD, and peak oxygen uptake, VO2 max, as well as health-related quality of life indices, including the St. George's Respiratory Questionnaire. These gains translate into greater independence, reduced healthcare utilization, and enhanced confidence in managing symptoms during daily activities. In conclusion, COPD is a multifactorial condition with complex physiological, behavioral, and emotional dimensions. While pharmacologic management remains the cornerstone of treatment, integrative approaches such as respiratory biofeedback offer critical support in optimizing respiratory function, enhancing quality of life, and promoting autonomy. Clinicians working with this population must adopt a comprehensive, personalized framework that includes both physiological monitoring and behavioral retraining, addressing not only the lungs but the lived experience of breath. Demographics. The demographics of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, reveal a widespread and disproportionate burden among specific populations, underscoring the need for targeted clinical interventions and public health policies. In the United States, COPD affects approximately 16 million individuals who have been formally diagnosed, but estimates suggest that up to 32 million may meet diagnostic criteria, many of whom remain undiagnosed. The condition predominantly affects individuals over the age of 40, with prevalence increasing steadily with age. This age-related rise reflects the cumulative effect of long-term exposure to risk factors such as smoking and environmental pollutants, as well as the natural decline in lung function associated with aging. COPD has historically been more prevalent in men due to higher smoking rates and occupational exposure to dust, fumes, and chemicals in traditionally male-dominated industries. However, this gender gap has narrowed considerably, and in many developed countries, including the United States, COPD-related morbidity and mortality are now higher in women. Women may be more biologically susceptible to the harmful effects of tobacco smoke and indoor air pollution and often present with more severe symptoms despite similar or lower levels of lung function impairment. Hormonal factors, smaller airway diameters, and differences in inflammatory response may contribute to this heightened vulnerability. Socioeconomic status is a major determinant of COPD risk and outcomes. Individuals with lower income and educational attainment are more likely to be exposed to smoking, occupational hazards, and substandard housing conditions that increase exposure to indoor air pollution and respiratory pathogens. These populations often have reduced access to preventive care, diagnostic services, and rehabilitation programs, leading to delayed diagnosis, undertreatment, and higher rates of exacerbation and hospitalization. Geographic disparities are also notable. COPD prevalence and mortality are highest in the southeastern United States, referred to as the COPD Belt, where tobacco use remains widespread and healthcare infrastructure is often less accessible. Racial and ethnic disparities further complicate the demographic picture. While COPD is most commonly diagnosed in non-Hispanic white populations, research suggests that the condition is underrecognized in African American and Hispanic communities, potentially due to differences in healthcare access, health literacy, and diagnostic bias. Among Native American populations, COPD rates are significantly elevated, likely due to a combination of high smoking prevalence, occupational exposures, and limited healthcare resources. These disparities contribute to inequities in disease burden, treatment adherence, and mortality, and they highlight the need for culturally sensitive education, screening, and intervention strategies. Occupation and environment play critical roles in COPD epidemiology. Individuals working in mining, construction, manufacturing, and agriculture are at heightened risk due to prolonged exposure to airborne irritants and chemical toxins. Additionally, indoor air pollution from biomass fuels, such as wood, dung, and crop residue, remains a leading cause of COPD in low- and middle-income countries, particularly among women who perform cooking duties in poorly ventilated homes. Globally, the World Health Organization estimates that over 3 billion people are exposed to harmful indoor air pollutants, thereby placing them at an elevated risk of developing chronic respiratory diseases. The burden of comorbidities in the COPD population is also significant and has demographic relevance. Cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, osteoporosis, depression, and anxiety are highly prevalent among individuals with COPD and contribute to reduced quality of life, increased healthcare costs, and higher mortality. These comorbidities are more prevalent in older adults and women, necessitating integrated care approaches that address both respiratory and systemic health concerns. Psychological comorbidities in particular, such as anxiety and panic disorder, are often underdiagnosed and undertreated in COPD patients, despite their strong association with dyspnea, healthcare utilization, and functional limitation. In summary, the demographics of COPD reveal complex intersections of age, gender, race, occupation, and socioeconomic status that influence disease onset, progression, and outcomes. Clinicians must recognize these patterns to ensure equitable diagnosis, culturally informed care, and tailored interventions. Biofeedback, respiratory retraining, and self-regulation techniques can be especially valuable in populations facing access barriers to traditional services, offering scalable and empowering solutions that improve both physiological function and quality of life. Multimodal interventions. Multimodal interventions for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, combine respiratory biofeedback with physical training, behavioral modification, and psychological support to address the multifaceted nature of the disorder. COPD is not only a disease of the lungs, but a systemic condition marked by respiratory dysfunction, muscular deconditioning, emotional dysregulation, and autonomic imbalance. As such, comprehensive treatment strategies must extend beyond pharmacological management to include evidence-based behavioral interventions that improve breathing efficiency, enhance exercise tolerance, and mitigate the psychological burden associated with chronic dyspnea. Biofeedback, particularly when integrated with exercise and paced breathing instruction, plays a central role in these programs by facilitating respiratory retraining and increasing client engagement through physiological self-monitoring. A central component of multimodal COPD treatment is paced diaphragmatic breathing, often supported by visual or auditory pacing cues. Clients are trained to reduce their respiratory rate, prolong exhalation, and engage the diaphragm to maximize tidal volume while minimizing respiratory effort. Pursed lips breathing is typically introduced to delay airway collapse during expiration and maintain intrathoracic pressure, enhancing gas exchange and reducing the sensation of air trapping. These techniques are practiced alongside HRV biofeedback or capnometry to guide the breath toward a slow, regular rhythm that preserves end-tidal carbon dioxide and promotes vagal activation. When practiced consistently, this approach reduces baseline dyspnea and increases the client's confidence in their ability to self-regulate under stress or exertion. Physical exercise is another critical pillar of multimodal intervention. Progressive aerobic training, often in the form of walking or cycling, is prescribed to improve cardiovascular endurance and muscular strength. Exercise sessions are paired with breathing retraining, ensuring that clients apply their new skills under real-world physiological demand. This pairing is crucial because individuals with COPD often revert to thoracic, rapid breathing during activity, which increases ventilatory inefficiency and perceived breathlessness. By synchronizing movement with pace, diaphragmatic breathing, clients reduce dynamic hyperinflation and improve exercise tolerance. In clinical settings, clients are often monitored with pulse oximetry and encouraged to check their oxygen saturation and perceived exertion, thereby enhancing safety and promoting interoceptive awareness. Psychological support is also integrated into multimodal COPD care. Many clients with COPD experience comorbid anxiety, depression, or panic, which exacerbates symptoms and reduce adherence to treatment. Cognitive behavioral strategies such as cognitive restructuring, exposure therapy, and relaxation training are used to reduce avoidance behavior and fear of dyspnea. Clients learn that shortness of breath, while distressing, is not necessarily dangerous, and that using slow, paced breathing can interrupt the vicious cycle of anxiety and hyperventilation. Biofeedback facilitates this learning by providing immediate, objective reinforcement of successful self-regulation. Clients see their physiological signals normalize in real time, which strengthens self-efficacy and motivation to continue practicing. Education and self-management training further enhance the impact of multimodal care. Clients are taught to monitor symptom trends, recognize early signs of exacerbation, and adjust their behavior accordingly. Instruction includes medication adherence, proper inhaler technique, and energy conservation strategies for daily activities. Respiratory therapists and biofeedback clinicians often collaborate to deliver integrated sessions that reinforce breathing techniques, optimize medication use, and reduce hospital admissions. Structured follow-up, either in person or via telehealth, supports ongoing engagement and allows clinicians to adjust protocols based on clinical response and client feedback. Family involvement and social support are also emphasized. Caregivers can be trained in basic pacing techniques and symptom monitoring, which allows them to provide reassurance and assistance during episodes of distress. Support groups or peer-led programs create a community of shared experience, reducing the isolation that often accompanies chronic illness. These networks encourage adherence and provide emotional validation, particularly during setbacks or exacerbations. By framing COPD as a manageable condition rather than a fixed decline, multimodal interventions foster a proactive stance toward health. In conclusion, multimodal interventions that integrate respiratory biofeedback, exercise training, psychological support, education, and social involvement offer a holistic, individualized approach to COPD care. These programs improve physiological function, enhance self-regulation, reduce symptoms, and increase quality of life. They represent the standard of care for behavioral management of COPD and exemplify the power of interdisciplinary collaboration in chronic disease treatment. Biofeedback studies. Biofeedback studies focused on chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, have demonstrated the efficacy of integrating respiratory biofeedback with exercise and behavioral interventions to improve respiratory function, physical capacity, and quality of life. Although the body of research is smaller compared to that on asthma, findings from both controlled and exploratory studies consistently support the use of biofeedback in COPD as an effective adjunctive therapy. The interventions typically focus on paced breathing, diaphragmatic engagement, and synchronization with physical activity, all reinforced through real-time feedback from instruments such as capnometers, heart rate variability, HRV, monitors, and electromyography systems. One of the earliest and most cited studies was conducted by Esteve and colleagues in 1996. In a randomized design, participants with COPD were assigned to either a breathing pattern training group or a control group. The training group received structured instruction in slow, diaphragmatic breathing supported by feedback, while the control group received standard care. After several weeks, participants in the intervention group showed a 22% improvement in forced expiratory volume in 1 second, FEV, and a 19% increase in forced vital capacity, FVC. The control group showed no significant change. These results provided some of the first quantitative evidence that breathing retraining can enhance lung mechanics even in structurally compromised lungs. A pivotal study by Giardino, Lehrer, and colleagues in 2004 further investigated the integration of HRV biofeedback and physical exercise for the management of COPD. 10 participants underwent 5 HRV biofeedback sessions designed to increase vagal tone through paced breathing at their resonance frequency, coupled with an aerobic walking program 4 times per week. Participants used pulse oximeters to monitor oxygen saturation and practice breath control techniques while walking. The study found significant improvements in the 6-minute walk distance, 6 MWD, a standard measure of functional capacity, as well as improvements in the St. George's Respiratory Questionnaire, SGRQ, a validated tool for assessing quality of life related to COPD. 8 of the 10 participants achieved clinically significant improvements, demonstrating that biofeedback can enhance exercise tolerance and reduce symptom burden. In another investigation, Van Dixhorn and Faldering, 2005, evaluated capnometric feedback in COPD patients. Participants were trained to normalize end-tidal carbon dioxide levels through slow, nasal, diaphragmatic breathing. The study reported reductions in dyspnea severity, improved subjective control over breathing, and stabilization of respiratory rhythm. These improvements were sustained at follow-up, suggesting that the learned breathing patterns had become generalized and self-sustaining. Participants also reported decreased reliance on rescue medication and increased confidence during physical exertion. These findings supported the clinical observation that clients with COPD often hyperventilate, especially under duress, and benefit from retraining that stabilizes respiratory chemistry. Pilot studies have also investigated the psychophysiological correlates of breathing and COPD. One study using respiratory inductance plethysmography and electromyography found that biofeedback training reduced thoracic to abdominal movement ratios and decreased upper trapezius muscle activation. These shifts were associated with reduced perceived effort of breathing and increased subjective comfort. Participants noted that breath pacing not only improved their respiratory control, but also helped manage comorbid anxiety and panic, which often co-occur in COPD and exacerbate breathlessness. Finally, recent technological advancements have enabled home-based studies using mobile biofeedback devices and wearable monitors. Early results from these trials suggest that COPD patients can effectively engage in self-guided training, maintain adherence, and experience similar gains in respiratory control, symptom reduction, and quality of life. These studies underscore the feasibility of remote biofeedback delivery, a particularly valuable feature for clients with mobility limitations or during public health crises such as the COVID-19 pandemic. In summary, biofeedback studies in COPD have demonstrated improved lung function, increased exercise tolerance, reduced dyspnea, and enhanced psychosocial outcomes. Although sample sizes are often small, the consistency of findings across methodologies and populations supports the integration of respiratory biofeedback into comprehensive COPD treatment programs. These interventions offer a safe, empowering, and evidence-based approach to enhancing self-regulation and reducing disease burden. Clinical efficacy. The clinical efficacy of biofeedback in the management of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, has been rated as level 3 probably efficacious in the 4th edition of Evidence-Based Practice in Biofeedback and Neurofeedback, based on findings from multiple clinical trials and well-documented case series. This classification indicates that biofeedback for COPD has demonstrated consistent benefits in controlled studies, but further large-scale randomized controlled trials, RCTs, are needed to strengthen the empirical foundation. Nevertheless, existing evidence supports the integration of respiratory biofeedback as a complementary intervention that improves functional capacity, reduces symptom burden, and enhances self-regulation in individuals with moderate to severe COPD. Key clinical outcomes associated with biofeedback interventions include reduced dyspnea, the subjective experience of breathlessness, improved oxygen saturation during activity, and enhanced pulmonary function as indexed by FEV, FVC, and 6-minute walk distance, 6 MWD. These outcomes are clinically meaningful because they address core impairments in COPD, ventilatory inefficiency, dynamic hyperinflation, and limited exercise tolerance. In addition, subjective quality of life measures, such as the St. George's Respiratory Questionnaire, SGRQ, and the COPD Assessment Test, CAT, show improvements after consistent respiratory training with biofeedback. These improvements reflect gains in symptom control, psychological comfort, and confidence in managing day-to-day activities. One of the most significant mechanisms by which biofeedback enhances COPD outcomes is through the modulation of autonomic function. HRV biofeedback, when performed at an individual's resonance frequency, enhances baroreflex sensitivity and parasympathetic tone. This autonomic recalibration reduces sympathetic overactivity, a contributor to chronic breathlessness, anxiety, and cardiovascular strain. Through repeated sessions of paced breathing and feedback on heart rate variability and respiratory waveforms, clients experience improved regulation of internal state, reduced panic associated with dyspnea, and increased resilience during physical exertion. These changes are measurable not only physiologically but also behaviorally, as patients report increased physical activity, reduced emergency healthcare utilization, and fewer exacerbations of their condition. Another dimension of efficacy involves reducing maladaptive breathing behaviors common in COPD, such as thoracic dominance, short exhalations, and reliance on accessory muscles. Respiratory biofeedback helps clients adopt slower, deeper, and more coordinated breathing patterns, which improves alveolar ventilation and reduces the metabolic cost of respiration. The use of pursed lips breathing and diaphragmatic control, reinforced by SEMG and visual waveform feedback, supports mechanical efficiency and prolongs expiratory time, both of which are essential for reducing air trapping and dynamic hyperinflation. This training is particularly beneficial during exertion, when poor breathing patterns typically intensify and exacerbate symptoms. From a psychosocial perspective, biofeedback enhances self-efficacy and treatment engagement. COPD is often accompanied by fear of breathlessness, depressive symptoms, and functional withdrawal, which can undermine treatment adherence and quality of life. By offering immediate, observable evidence that clients can influence their physiology, biofeedback restores a sense of control. Many patients report feeling more competent, less fearful of activity, and more hopeful about their capacity to manage a progressive disease. These psychological gains are not secondary. They are central to maintaining behavioral change and reducing the likelihood of disability. Despite its clear benefits, several limitations temper the classification of biofeedback as probably efficacious. Most published studies have involved small samples, short follow-up durations, and limited standardization of biofeedback protocols. Additionally, many studies integrate multiple interventions, for example, exercise training, education, psychological support, making it difficult to isolate the unique contribution of biofeedback. Nonetheless, when biofeedback is implemented with attention to pacing, monitoring, and client readiness, it consistently yields measurable improvements in both physiological and behavioral outcomes. In conclusion, biofeedback for COPD meets the criteria for a clinically meaningful, non-invasive adjunct to standard care. It improves respiratory mechanics, enhances autonomic regulation, reduces anxiety, and supports functional gains in activity and quality of life. With further research and increased clinical adoption, its status may be elevated to efficacious, reinforcing its place in the comprehensive biopsychosocial management of COPD. Practical takeaways for respiratory treatment. Effective respiratory treatment through biofeedback hinges on integrating physiological retraining with patient-centered, evidence-informed practice. First, clinicians must assess breathing patterns comprehensively using tools such as capnometry to monitor end-tidal carbon dioxide and respiratory inductance plethysmography to evaluate rhythm and volume. This ensures the identification of dysfunctional breathing behaviors such as thoracic dominance, rapid shallow breathing, and absence of post-exhalatory pauses before intervention begins. Clients should be educated on the importance of maintaining carbon dioxide homeostasis and trained to recognize that overbreathing, not oxygen deficiency, is often the source of their symptoms. Second, pacing is foundational. Breathing at a rate of 4.5 to 6.5 breaths per minute, often near the resonance frequency, optimizes respiratory sinus arrhythmia and promotes autonomic regulation. Clinicians should guide clients to breathe through the nose with diaphragmatic activation and longer exhalations, ensuring smooth, low-effort respiration. Real-time feedback from capnometers and HRV displays helps clients visualize progress and make necessary adjustments. Consistent practice, ideally 10 to 20 minutes per day, twice daily, reinforces learning and contributes to symptom improvement, autonomic flexibility, and emotional self-regulation. Third, for chronic respiratory conditions like asthma and COPD, clinicians should integrate respiratory biofeedback with broader behavioral interventions. In asthma, retraining should target overbreathing and include psychoeducation about airway physiology and emotional triggers. In COPD, combining breath training with aerobic exercise, muscle deconditioning reversal, and psychological support yields the strongest results. Instruction in pursed lips breathing and posture correction should accompany HRV training, allowing clients to apply breathing skills during physical exertion and symptom onset. Fourth, breathing apps and paced breathing devices serve as accessible tools to support home practice. These tools help structure practice, reinforce rhythm, and promote adherence. Clients should be encouraged to customize their pacing settings and use these tools during transitions, sleep onset, or stress exposure. Importantly, clinicians must caution against over-effort and excessive breath depth, which can lead to carbon dioxide washout and paradoxical symptom intensification. The emphasis must remain on comfort, smoothness, and physiological awareness. Fifth, clinicians must address barriers to retraining, including fear of breathlessness, trauma histories, postural restrictions, and misinformation about oxygen needs. Strategies such as modeling effortless breathing, using tactile feedback, and integrating paced breathing into cognitive behavioral frameworks increase client buy-in and efficacy. Progress should be tracked using both subjective reports and objective physiological measures, reinforcing mastery through measurable improvement. Finally, respiratory training should be embedded within a long-term health behavior framework. Clients should learn to apply skills during daily activities, emotional challenges, and physical exertion. Maintenance practice ensures gains are preserved and generalized, and periodic follow-up supports sustained engagement. In both preventive and rehabilitative care, respiratory biofeedback represents a non-invasive, empowering intervention with the capacity to recalibrate the breath and the body's broader systems of regulation. Conclusion. This lecture has traced the psychophysiological foundations, clinical applications, and empirical support for respiratory biofeedback across diverse conditions, particularly asthma and COPD. Healthy breathing is not simply an automatic reflex. It is a modifiable, behaviorally conditioned process with far-reaching effects on cognition, emotion, and physiology. When dysfunctional, breathing contributes to a cascade of symptoms that disrupt autonomic balance and diminish quality of life. When retrained using structured biofeedback, it becomes a source of stability, resilience, and agency. Respiratory applications begin with careful assessment and the identification of maladaptive patterns such as overbreathing, thoracic dominance, and effortful respiration. Training emphasizes nasal, diaphragmatic breathing at reduced rates, guided by real-time capnometry and HRV metrics. These methods have demonstrated strong efficacy in improving respiratory chemistry, enhancing vagal tone, and reducing the frequency and intensity of asthma and COPD symptoms. Interventions are further strengthened when embedded in multimodal care models that include physical conditioning, cognitive restructuring, and self-monitoring. In both acute and chronic presentations, breathing retraining empowers clients to influence symptoms previously experienced as uncontrollable. It transforms the breath from a marker of threat into a vehicle for regulation. Whether applied to panic, dyspnea, or performance anxiety, respiratory biofeedback provides a direct, evidence-based pathway to autonomic recalibration and functional restoration. As clinicians refine their delivery and expand accessibility, respiratory interventions will continue to play a central role in integrative psychophysiological healthcare.